So anything else I can tell you before you go?
Oh, yeah, actually, because Mystic, could you talk to us a little bit about the building?
The building was built in 1902, and there's this wonderful book about breweries around Detroit area that this guy wrote a few years ago. He used to work at Stroh's when it was still in Detroit, and there's a nice little thing about our building in here, which it started. So that's the thing that was on his T-shirt. That's actually the same picture. And before it was called Michigan Union Brewing, and it was called Western Brewing, and I think it changed its name when the building was actually built. And then there was Prohibition, and there wasn't anything at all, and it turned, so that's the building, and that's the invisible fourth floor. Then it turned into the Ann Arbor Brewing Company, which I guess is in here somewhere. And so the big bottles over there are all from the old brewery, and they were embossed with the thing I dearly love about them. If you just grab one of these here, is that at the bottom it says pure and without drugs or poison. And wow, now that's marketing for you. This beer will not kill you. But apparently, from what I've read, there was an early version of what became later the Pure Food and Drug Act, and they were required to do that. And actually, if you're really into bottles, you can date them by that. And I think that came in maybe about 1910. So if it doesn't have that, you know it was before that. And then Prohibition shut the whole thing down, and the building was a variety of things between. And after Prohibition, it opened. It was a completely different brewery. It had no relation with equipment or people or anything to what the one was. That was called Ann Arbor Brewing Company. Those are the ones with labels. And that existed till 1949, and then it closed. And there was this whole thing that after the war, with the growth of media and national marketing and so forth, all these little breweries just slowly shriveled up. So at one time, I think Ann Arbor had, like, according to this book, like four breweries, which is hard to imagine now. But that, of course, the craft brewery movement changed everything in the 80s. That was sort of getting in a way more back to what it was. So partly because I lived in Milwaukee for a while, when I was at Marquette, I've just been interested in beer and brewing history for a long time. So that was sort of my sign from God that I should come here, that I could work in a building that used to be a brewery. So I've collected these bottles mostly off of eBay, but some other odds and ends have come in various places. And I used to be willing to pay a lot more than I'm willing to pay now. I once had this silly dream that I would corner the market on bottles from the pre-Prohibition brewery. And over the years, I've realized these things come from the most amazing places. They come from California. You can't figure out how in the world they got there, because all of this in the old days would have been very, very regional. They were in somebody's attic and they packed up the house and moved. I don't know how they got there. And so there's a lot of bottles, and my threshold is pretty, has moved pretty high now. So what it would take to get me to buy more of them. I wish I had sort of a proper display thing. I've always imagined, as we do a renovation in the building, we'd make this little museum that would illustrate them. But this guy I talked to one time years ago after I came here, I was sort of poking around just because I was interested in the history. I always sort of imagined that somehow I'd look in the basement or find something and find beer bottles. And I quickly figured out they were long gone. And this guy came to visit who had, when it closed in 1949, it was empty for a while, and the U bought it somewhere early to mid 60s. And at the first it was this sort of media center where they'd have all the film stuff that you were used in classroom and teaching teachers and so forth. But before that, the Culligan man had a location downtown somewhere that I forget now exactly where it was, but his building was bought up and he was sort of homeless for a while until he could find a new location. So he moved in here because it turns out that in the basement there is an artesian well. I don't know where that is now, but he had an actual water, besides a building, he actually had an actual water supply of good water. So he moved in here for a while. Part of this building, if you're on the outside, actually was built in the renovation in the 80s. That wasn't there. But at that time, back in what's now the parking lot, there were the old barns where, I don't know, they probably kept horses in the old days. And he told me at that time it was just filled with these wooden barrels and that were not as big as you kind of think of as beer barrels now. They're kind of this big around them, like this high, but all beautiful wooden barrels. And he took them home and chopped them up and burned them for in his fireplace, except for, I don't know, he saved some very small number. And one of them he gave to Arbor Brewing downtown, and then he was dissatisfied that they didn't actually display it the way he was hoping for them. He asked for it back and came here and gave it to us, and we have it down in the kitchen down there. His son actually, in cleaning up his father's house, found this wooden box, which he gave to me fairly recently, which was like a case box for case beer that we would have used to have moved around. So, I'm always on the alert for some kind of memorabilia that come from it. The ones that I really want are really expensive, the rare ones. There was something that came up, it was like a tray recently that I really badly wanted, but it went for several $100s, and I wasn't going to pay that much for it. So, but anyway.
And to just think how much those old barrels would now fetch at like any sort of weird vintage shop.
They would be worth something. Yeah, right. It's too bad that he did that. The funny thing about those wooden boxes. The son, I actually went out and looked at him. It's over in, it's part of town over, sort of, relatively speaking, by Burr Park over there. He had this garage that was separated from the house. He had actually had like three lots, and it was on one of the lots. And he'd taken all those wooden boxes and nailed them up to the walls out this way to make shelving. So most of them were completely ruined in the process, and then he kind of like painted them green. So his son selected out. That's one of the very nicest of them that, and I picked out a few. Do you know the place down? Well, no, you're not. There's a place downtown called the Blue Front. I don't know if you know.
No, that. I haven't seen that one yet.
It in the old days when I moved here, and I guess for years and years, it's on this funny corner where Packard and State meet. It was this sort of scuzzy store that sold beer and, a mini Martins, that sort of thing. That building was bought, and I guess like the son of the guy who bought it, renovated what was the store. It's still called the Blue Front, but it's this craft beer shop. Very, very nicely done. You should stop over there sometime. And he has a bunch of those boxes there just kind of on display, which is kind of neat.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.